All right, Javosai, good morning. Let's begin. Our shir this morning is dedicated by Mr. and Mrs. Martyr in commemoration of the yahrzeit of Mrs. Martyr's father, of Gedalia Aryeh ben Reb Shmuel Yitzchak. We thank Mr. and Mrs. Martyr for the dedication. We hope the neshama has an aliyah and the family in the chama. Thank you. Thank you. Our shir is also dedicated this week by Aaron and Alana Weinberg in commemoration of the 7th anniversary of the complete refuah shlema of their son, Yonatan. We hope that in the merit of the Talmud Torah, sweet little boy will continue to have a life filled with gizunt ad mea ve'esim sharim togos. All right, so let's begin the beautiful, beautiful daf ahead of us today. Today's daf is daf pei beis. We actually left off at the last two lines at the bottom of pei aleph amud beis. Let's just do a quick review of the Mishnah again. Just read through it quickly and then go by here. Says the Mishnah, so we're picking up on 81b and we are picking up six lines up from the bottom. Says the Mishnah, hanitanim bifnim shenis arbu benitanim b'chutz. So we'll say, remember, we're continuing on the same theme, which is quite a riveting theme, you have to admit, about sacrificial mix-ups. All about sacrificial mix-ups, which one has to imagine also, like, you know, when we look at karbanos, so we often kind of tune out a little bit, because unfortunately, after 2,000 years, it's not halacha l'maisa for us. But understand, the Mirat Hashem b'karov, it will become halacha l'maisa. But then, even when you get into sacrificial law, one could imagine that there are certain halachos which were a bit more lemaisa than others. So I was thinking about this the other night, that it must have been sacrificial mix-up, must have happened. Meaning, you have a lot of stuff, especially when you have a heavy carbonic volume in the Beis HaMikdash, it's easy to imagine cases of blood getting mixed up, blood getting mixed together. So these halachos, I would have to imagine, I don't know, maybe some of the Kohanim, how you have a masoda from the Zedas or something, but I think it must have been very prevalent. So listen to this case. So this case is another carbonic mix-up. So you have certain bloods which are applied inside the Beis HaMikdash, certain blood applied outside. The two different types of blood got mixed together. What's the halacha? So nasan b'chutz. Yish b'chul la'ama. So we'll say Tanakhama says, and this is the sheet of the Rabbanan that we keep seeing over and over and over, which is whenever you have a sacrificial mix-up, or I should say differently, whenever you have multiple types of blood or sacrificial parts mixed together, what do? Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Don't offer it. So therefore, that's the first course of action. Mix up of the blood. Go ahead and spill it out. Spill it out. So the Gemara says, "Nasan b'chutz v'chazav v'nasan b'fnim." What happens if you went ahead and you applied the blood on the outside, and then went inside the Beis HaMikdash and applied the blood there? So kasher. The halacha is ultimately again that is kasher. B'fnim v'chazav v'nasan b'chutz. So we'll say, what happens if you applied the blood on the inside first, and then applied the blood on the outside? Rabbi Akiva posel. Rabbi Akiva ultimately says that it is possible. So we're going to see that Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that ultimately, again, any time you bring outside blood in, by definition, it invalidates the karbon. V'cham machshirin. And the Chacham say, no, that it'll still be kosher. Why? Rabbi Akiva, Omer Rabbi Akiva says, kol damim shenichnesu l'chaper behecha psulin. Rabbi Akiva says that any time that you have brought outside blood inside to the Beis HaMikdash, by definition, it is possible. The Chachamim omrim chatos vilbad. The Chachamim, on the other hand, say, no, the only type of carbon avosai that if brought inside becomes invalidated is what? Is the chatos. And we'll see, they're going to learn this out based on psukim. Rabbi Eliezer omrim afa asham. But as it says, even the asham also becomes invalidated if brought inside. Shneemar kechatos ka'asham. Just as the blood of the chatos, if brought inside, becomes invalidated, so too the blood of the asham, if brought inside, becomes invalidated as well. Good. Says the Gemara. V'niflog nami Rabbi Eliezer b'ha. So we'll say, the Gemara says, you were thinking the same thing. Where is Rabbi Eliezer in this whole thing? Remember again, what's the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer? Rabbi Eliezer has the most lenient sheetah whenever it comes to sacrificial mix-up because of one word. What's his one word sheetah? Rowan. Remember, Rabbi Eliezer says, whenever you have a... Maish, excellent. Another, good, great. Right? Whenever... Give him an extra ragalach or a tea biscuit, whatever we have back there. Fine, Maish. I'm going to be away a couple of weeks into the summer. So the idea over here is as follows. The idea over here, Rabbi Eliezer holds Rowan. Rabbi said, what does Rowan mean? That anytime you have a mix-up of sacrificial blood, you can apply the whole thing everywhere, and the blood that doesn't belong we view as what? we view as water. So why, where is Rabbi Eliezer in this discussion over here regarding inside blood and outside blood that gets mixed up? To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. So the Gemara says, Heichi li'avid, because even according to Rabbi Eliezer, you're a little bit stuck. What should you do? Neisiv b'chotz v'hadr neisiv lifnim. If you want to say first do the blood application outside, then do the blood application inside. So that's not going to work, and I'll tell you why. Kishim shemitzvah lahaktim al yorim l'tachtonim, kach mitzvah lahaktim pinim l'chotz. Because also in the same way, now we actually never, I don't know that we ever explicitly said this, but the same way that halacha l'maisa, there's a concept of going ahead and dafka first applying upper blood and then lower blood. There's also a concept of first applying inner blood and then outer blood. The problem with if you do that is what? Is that once you take the blood inside, at least according to Rabbi Akiva, you've invalidated it. So that's not an issue. So that's not a possibility. Top of pebes, v'nesav lifnim v'hadr nesav l'chutz. Okay, so maybe you'll say do the inside application then the outside application. You can't do that. Why? Kevan dikachatas v'asham dechinichnas daman psulin lo psulin. Because Rabbi said that will not work for all karbanos. Why will that not work for all karbanos? Because at the end of the day, what's going to happen? Everyone agrees with Chatas and Asham that once the blood is brought inside, then what? Then it's invalid. So Rabbi said the machlokes Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanan is only by all other karbanos. Rabbi Akiva, as we're going to see, learns out from Chatas and Asham that just like a Chatas and an Asham, if the blood is brought inside, it invalidates the karbanos, it invalidates the dam. So to all other karbanos, if you bring it inside, it invalidates the dam. Meaning, if you bring it inside and it doesn't belong inside. The Rabbanan just say, no, that only applies dafka to chatas and asham. So I'll say, so because of this, there's really no recourse. Therefore, Rabbi Eliezer does not comment on this Mishnah. Good. Share Rabbi Akiva Omer. Because most Rabbi Akiva used to say, now remember again, Rabbi Akiva's shita is, Koldomim shenichnesu lechaper behechal psulin. Rabbi Akiva's statement is that any blood that belongs outside, when we say belong outside, we'll say, what does that mean? That is normally sprinkled outside. If you bring it inside, then what happens? By definition, it is pasul. By definition, it is pasul. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shlomo, so this is actually amazing. This is pretty much as close to Agarat as we're going to get in Zvachim, so enjoy the next two lines. It's a mashal. So the Gemara says, so Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, mashal amad avadome. To what can this be compared? So both say, now I just want to point something out. The pasuk that we're going to focus on over here is a pasuk in Vayikra, Perek Vav, pasuk Chav Gimel. So the pasuk reads, "V'chol chatos asher yuva midama el oel moy v'chaper b'kodesh lo se achel ba'ish tisareif." So the pasuk says explicitly by chatos that if you bring the blood of a chatos into the Beis Hamikdash, then what? The chatos is pasul. So that is a mefurish pasuk. That's why, if you notice again, what in the Mishnah. Everyone agrees that if you bring the blood of a chatas inside of the Beis HaMikdash, then what's the halacha? The chatas is pasul. No one could disagree with that. Why? It's a pasuk. Good. It's a pasuk. Rabbi says, we're going to see Rabbi Akiva uses this pasuk by chatas and applies it essentially to all karbanos. That any karban whose blood is sprinkled, supposed to be sprinkled outside and is then brought inside, that invalidates the karban. That is the sheet of Rabbi Akiva. Now here we go. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mashmo, Mashal Ba'ad Avadome. So if you want to bring a mashal, bless you, if you want to bring a mashal for Rabbi Akiva's sheet, what could it be compared to? Well, so it's actually a fascinating mashal. Mashal Ba'ad Avadome, L'talmid Shemazag L'Rabo Bechamim. So we'll say, this can be compared to a Talmud who went ahead and made a glass of wine for his Rebbe using warm water. So there are different ways that you could dilute. Remember that they used to use wine concentrate. You could dilute wine concentrates with warm water, with cold water. He made for his Rebbe a glass of wine using warm water. Va'amar lo, mazugli. And now the Rebbe says, I'd like another glass of wine. Dilute for me another glass of wine. So listen to this. We'll say, look at Rashi for just a moment. Mashal Rabbi Akiva, Demash Malei Shal Kol Adamim Bichlal Kol Chatas Asher Yuva Midama Lemav Davar Dome LeTalmid Shemazag Lo LeRabbo Yain Bechamin. So Rabbi Akiva, who expands the pasuk of Chatas to apply to all karbanos, he gives the following mashal. This Rabbi asked for a glass of wine. The student diluted the glass of wine with water, with warm water. The Rabbi says, "V'Amar Lo Mazag, we bring you another glass of wine." So Amar Lo Bema. So now the student says, "So Rabbi, what kind of water would you like me to dilute it with?" Amar Lo, Lo bechamin anu asukin. Are we not literally? Are we not in the sugya of warm water? Achshav bein bechamin bein betzonin. But now you can make it with warm water or with cold water. So what's the pshat? Look at Rashi just a moment. Lo bechamin anu asukin. V'chevan sheni omer lecha mazuk stam bechamin hayisi omer lecha. Achshav hineni omer lecha bein bechamin bein betzonin. So also listen to this. So the Rebbe says. The Rebbe says, since you had given me warm water, so ultimately, again, when I were to go, when I tell you, dilute for me another cup of water, so another cup of water, bepashtos means what? Of the same type that you went ahead and you told me. Now we'll say, now why is this important? So this is an interesting mashal. So the mashal seems to be that if the student made the Rebbe a glass of wine with a cup of warm water, and the Rebbe says, make me another cup of wine, so bepashtos, what does that mean? What kind of water? Same type of water. Now watch this. Now look at Rashi for just a moment. So Rashi says, lo bechamin anu asukin. So finish the rest of that Rashi. He says, ha'isi omer lecha achshav hineni omer lecha be'mecham be'mitzonin. Klomar, ha'osek bedavar ein ragil lahaskiro kishem edarebom. So we'll say the nimshal is as follows. When you're normally involved in something, so you don't have to be explicit if you want the continuity of the present circumstances. So if I just want the continuity of what is already happening, I need not articulate that explicitly. V'maskiro b'dayto lahosef achirim imo v'omer avzeh shayisi osik bo yebechal. So we'll say, listen to the way this mashal reads, which is quite interesting. In the mashal, so if I asked my student for a glass of wine, and the student brought me a cup of wine, so diluted with warm water. If I would say, can I have another glass of wine? The inference would be what? Warm water. If I said to him, can you please go ahead and make me a cup of wine with warm water? Interestingly enough, the way the Gemara understands that statement is how? That warm water means warm water or cold water. Why? Because had I not said anything, we would have assumed that I wanted an extension of the status quo. Now that I'm saying something extraneous, it must be to add something. What am I coming to add? I'm coming to add warm water or cold water, which I will say, you see, you have to say it over to yourself a couple of times, because at first glance, it doesn't sound intuitive. It sounds just the opposite. If I'm explicitly saying, give me warm water, but like, whatever you do, don't try this like with your wife. This type of logic, just do what she says. The idea being over here, it's really quite fascinating. What this presupposes is that people are precise with their words. That's what this presupposes. So if my student made me a cup of wine with warm water, if I just want warm water again, just say, make me another cup of wine, because that's the extension of the status quo. If I say, make me another cup of wine, and you could use warm water, why do I need that phrase? So the way that Rabbi Akiva's understanding that phrase is, it's coming to say, I could use warm water, or anything else you want to make the cup of wine with. So it's an incredible mashal based on the idea that people don't use unnecessary words. Incredible. Hachinami. So we'll say, so what's the nimshal? Here we go. This is really exciting. Hachinami. Michti bechatas askinas. So we'll say, watch this. The psukim that we're dealing with over here, the context is carbon chatos. So va'asi chatos tekaz of Rachman alamli. So we'll say, if the Torah is discussing chatos, then I will say, then the pasuk goes out of his way to say v'chol chatos asher yuva midama el moed. So the pasuk then says, and if the blood of a chatos is brought into the Beis HaMikdash inside the building, then the chatos is invalid. You see here what the Gemara's kasha is? I don't understand. If at the end of they were already talking about chatos, then what? All you need to say is what? If its blood is brought in, why do you need to explicitly articulate chatos again? So in Rabbi Akiva's model, the extra mention of chatos abosai tells you what? That the din of bringing outside blood in and thereby invalidating the carbon is not just a din in chatos, but is a din in all carbonos whose blood is normally sprinkled outside. Hachinami michti bechatos askinon va'asi chatos dikas of Rachman alamali. So if we're already talking about chatos, then why is there the need to mention chatos again? Rather, the additional statement of chatos avosai must be what? Must be in order to include other types of karbanos as well. So we'll say, this is really quite a fascinating libud. So Rabbi Akiva's understanding is, from the seemingly additional mention of the word chatos, we're learning out that the idea of bringing outside blood in and thereby invalidating a karbon is not just a din in chatos, but is a din in all karbonos whose blood is normally sprinkled outside. Maskif l'rafuna b'rid Rav Yehoshua, s'rafuna b'rid Yehoshua rizekasha, michti yisrabu kol kodshim, legabi mizbeach l'inyin miriko shtifa. So both say, listen to this. We know that in general, again, all kachim are including the obligation of merika and shtifa. Well, so merika and shtifa refers to halachos, essentially, of hechsher kelim. Merika and shtifa says that if you use a utensil for sacrificial purposes, meaning when I say for sacrificial purposes, I have a shlamim, I'm going ahead and what? I'm then going ahead and grilling my piece of the shlamim in my pan. So we'll say the halacha is before I use that pan for then something else, I have to kasher it in order to purge it from any type of sacrificial blios. So the Gemara says, Chatas, the Kasev Rachman Alamali. So why does the Torah have to single out Chatas over there? Shmamino Chatas in Midach Rinalo. So we'll say, does that not come to teach that the din only applies to Chatas and not to other things? So we'll say, so it's a reverse limud. So the Gemara says, Vahalo Dami El Letalmud. This can be compared to the following thing, to following mashal. Letalmud Shemazag Lerabo Bein Mechamin Bein Bitzonin. This can be compared to a case where the Talmud made the Rebbe a cup of wine. And the Rebbe did not specify if he wanted warm water or cold water. And then what happens when the Rebbe wants a second cup of wine? He says, Amar lo, al timzogli el chamin. So say, if the Rebbe then says, if the Rebbe did not articulate or did not explicitly say which type of water he wants, and then what? And then the Talmud brings him a cup of water, and then the Rebbe says, I want warm water. Then again, that's proving that to the exclusion. So we'll say, so now the Gemara is saying, the Joshua could be on this one in a different way. El tam Rebbe Akiva, mechatos v'chol chatos. You're right. Rabbi Akiva's limud is not based on the previous mashal. Rather, Rabbi Akiva's concept is based on chatos and kol chatos. What does this mean? Disanyo, chatos, Shabosai, when the pasuk talks about chatos, remember, this is all talking about the pasuk that says that if you bring the blood of a chatos inside the Beis HaMikdash, the karbon is invalid. What Rabbi Akiva is doing is taking that pasuk and expanding it not only to refer to chatos, but what? To refer to all karbanos. This sanya chatos, eini elachatos, and you know that this then applies to a chatos. Kodshe kadoshim inayin. How do I know that even other kodshe kadoshim, whose blood is supposed to be sprinkled outside, but if you bring the blood inside, it invalidates the karban. Tamulomar kol chatos. Kodshim kalim inayin. How do I know about kodshim kalim? Tamulomar. V'chol chatos, div Rabbi Akiva. Suppose Rabbi Akiva seems to learn out from the additional words in the pasuk. Amar Rabbi Yosi Aglili, Bosei, first wide line on Pei Beis Amud Aleph. Rabbi Yosi Aglili says, one second, Afilu atamar bekolayam kulo eni shomei alacha. Suppose listen to this. Rabbi Yosi Aglili says, Rabbi Akiva, I don't care how many ribuyim you make. You could make ribuyim the whole day. I'm still not going to listen to you. Ela chatos, eni ela chatos yochid. So I will say, Rabbi Yosi Aglili disagrees with Rabbi Akiva, but he agrees in a certain respect. He agrees that the pasuk could be expounded upon. What he disagrees is how. So we'll say, ultimately, Rabbi Akiva is using this pasuk that talks about chatos, and is using it to include all other karbanos. To say all karbanos, if you bring the blood inside, ultimately will invalidate the karban. Rabbi Yosi Aglili says, no. The pasuk is referring to chatos yochid. How do I know that it even applies to a chatos? Sibor tamud lomar, kol chatos. V'eini ela chatos zachar. I only know that it applies to a male chatos. Chatos nekeva minayin. How do I know that it applies to a female as well? Tamud lomar, v'chol. So the Gemara says, one second. Klapi laya. Rabosei, just so you understand, from a chatos perspective, more often, more times than not, a chatos was brought from a female animal, not a male animal. So the Gemara therefore says, reverse it. Elahachi kamar, eini elachatos nekeva. I only know about a chatos nekeva. Chatos zocher minayin. How do I know ultimately again about a chatos zocher? So the Gemara says, tamud lomar v'chol chatos. Therefore the pasuk says v'chol chatos. So we'll say, so Rabbi Yosi Haglili agrees with Rabbi Akiva that you could expand the scope of the pasuk. But in Rabbi Yosi Haglili's model, he is only expanding the scope to include what? To include other forms of chatos. Other forms of chatos. But halacha l'maisa not to include other forms of karbanos. Rabbi Akiva is using the pasuk ultimately to include all types of karbanos if the blood ultimately, again, was supposed to be sprinkled on the outside and you brought it inside, the carbon is invalid. So the Gemara says, V'sav Rabbi Yossi Aglili Haikra, the Hach Yudas, does Rabbi Yossi Aglili really use this pasuk to teach us what he just espoused above? So it's a hot time, but we learned, Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, Lefisha Matzinu Kola Inyon Kulo Eino Madaber Ela Baparim Hanesrafim Musirim Nesrafim Lisrov Pisulehen Abe Sabira Vela Amod Bolo Sasya Lachiloso. So we'll say, so listen to this. But yet Rabbi Yossi Halili seemed to indicate from that pasuk that ultimately, again, it taught us. The pasuk is talking about parim asrafim. We'll say, ultimately, again, the certain parim that are burned, like the par ha'alam davar shal tzibor, the par koi mashiach, the sirim hanasrafim, which are the sir that are brought for communal guilt as well, that ultimately, again, you burn the leftovers at beis habira outside of the beis hamikdash, and if you eat it, you're over an alosase, amrulo, Chatos shenichnas dama lifnai v'lifnei minayin. Really, we learn out the halacha that if a chatos, if blood is brought inside, it is invalid. Amar lahen hein lo huva. We'll say, Rabbi Yossi Aglili seems to learn out the din of a chatos from a totally different pasuk. Hein lo huva. We're going to talk about it on the days a little bit. That's the pasuk by Moshe and Aaron by Yom Hashmini about the specific chatos that they brought. So you see that Rabbi Yossi Aglili does not learn out from this pasuk. You're right. L'dvar Rabbi Akiva kamar. Rabbi Yossi Aglili was just espousing this in accordance with Rabbi Akiva's Shita, but he himself held a bit different. So bottom line, we end off with a fundamental machlokes in Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim regarding what happens. So let's go with what everybody agrees with. What does everybody agree with? That if you take Chatas blood, which is supposed to normally be sprinkled on the outer Mizbeach, and you bring it inside, what's the halacha? The Chatas is pasul. Rabbi Akiva takes that concept and applies it to all other karbanos which belong on the outside. If you bring them inside, they are pasul. Chachamim disagree. How do we paskin? We paskin like the Chachamim against Rabbi Akiva. It is only the blood of a chatos, which if brought inside will become invalidated. Other karbanos will say, obviously, the blood should not be brought inside, but if it is brought inside, ultimately, again, it does not invalidate the carbon. Weiter. Mishnah. We'll say another very exciting Mishnah. Chata shekibol dama b'shtechol. We'll say this actually is very exciting. Listen to this. So now I'm doing kabbalah. Remember, shchita, first step in the carbon. Next step, kabbalah. Right? You have to go ahead and receive what we call the dam ha-nefesh in a kli sharis, in a utensil. And I will say, so the keys over here is as follows. Chata shekil b'damar b'shnei kosos. I will say, so the keys over here is, the coin was makabal, the blood of the chatos, in two cups. In two cups, right? Two kosos. I will say, pei beis amad aleph, in the wide lines, the Mishnah about 10 lines in. So he received it in two cups. And I will say, now watch this. Yotza echad mehen lochotz. So listen to this. So what happens if you took one of the cups outside of the Beis HaMikdash? Now, Bosan, and normally, if you take the blood of a chatas outside of the Beis HaMikdash, then what? What? Carbon is possible. What's unique about this case? One cup went out, one cup stayed in. I told you this was exciting. One cup went out, one cup stayed in. So, what's this? Now, the shayla is what? The blood that went out, I know is possible. What's my shayla? My shayla is, what about the cup that stayed on the inside? Is the cup on the inside still valid for use or not? So we'll say, watch this. So ultimately, again, the Mishnah says that the inner cup is kosher. The cup that remained on the inside is kosher. On the other hand, nichnas echmem lefnim. We'll say, watch this. What happens if instead of taking one of the cups out, fakert, where did I take one of the cups? Or the coin took one of the cups? Inside the Beis HaMikdash. Now remember again, what did we just get finished saying in the previous Mishnah? In the previous Mishnah, we just got finished saying that halacha lemaisa, you can't take the blood of a chatas. Blood of a chatas brought inside the Beis HaMikdash. I mean, when I say inside the Beis HaMikdash, I mean inside the structure of the Beis HaMikdash, inside the Heichal, right? Not inside to the temple compound, into the actual building of the Beis HaMikdash, invalidates the blood. So we'll say, Sinai, remember again, in this case, I have two cups of chatas blood. So what have we established? Case number one is if you take cup A outside, then what's the status of cup B? Kosher. What happens if I take cup A inside the structure of the Beis HaMikdash? What is the status of cup B? So it says the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi Aglili Machshe Bechitzon. So Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, yes, the cup that remained where it's supposed to is still kosher. Chachamim Postin. Wow. But I say the Chachamim say that if you take cup A inside the Beis HaMikdash, then what? Cup B, even though cup B has remained in the Azara or in the courtyard or by the Mizbeach HaChitzon, ultimately, again, it is possible. So we'll say, so let's clarify over here where we're talking about. Normally, when we talk about the Beis HaMikdash is comprised of the Azara, the courtyard. Then again, ultimately, you the Heichal. Now, then you have, if you walk past the Azara, you go up the set of steps, down the other side of the set of steps, you're looking at the Mizbeach Achitzon, the outer Mizbeach. Then you have the actual, what we call the Beis HaMikdash building. The Beis HaMikdash building, remember again, was like a purpose, was two structures. There was the Heichal, which was a longer structure, and then again, the Heichal was perpendicular to what we call the Kodesh. Inside the Kodesh was the menorah, the incense altar, and then the curtain, which if you kept walking further, was the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So we'll say, so case number one is where you took one cup of Chatas blood outside of the entire temple compound. You left the walls of the temple compound. So in that case, the blood that leaves the temple compound, of course, will be possible. Of course, will be possible. But the cup left inside is kosher. Case number two, you take a cup of Chatas blood into the actual Beis HaMikdash building, into the structure. Then we have Machlokas. Rabbi Yossi says the blood left inside the acceptable area will still remain kosher. Chachamim say all of the blood becomes possible. I'm Rabbi Yossi Galili. Rabbi Yossi Galili says, I'll tell you why I disagree. So let's listen to this. Rabbi Yossi Galili says, you know, when shechting a karban, or the truth is during any part of the avodah, if a kohen has in mind to do any of the avodah b'chutz outside the Beis HaMikdash, say, what does that do? That invalidates the karban. That invalidates the sacrificial service. So Rabbi Yossi Galili says like this. If a machshava to do the avodah outside of the Beis HaMikdash invalidates it, yet lo asas hamashuyar kiyotze, yet in a case we all agree that what, where you take some of the blood outside of the actual compound of the Beis HaMikdash, it doesn't invalidate the blood left behind. Then makom sheina machshava poselas befnim, ein al din shlo nasas hamashuyar kinichnas. So ultimately, again, Rabbi Yossi Galili says, then certainly in a case where what, when a kohen, if a kohen doing the avodah has in mind to go ahead and bring the blood on the inside, Rabbi Yossi, then what? Even though that is illegal, that does not invalidate the karban. So if a machshavas pnim does not invalidate the sacrificial service, then what? Certainly, when you bring one cup of blood inside the Beis HaMikdash proper, Beis HaMikdash building, it shouldn't invalidate the blood that is left in the appropriate area. It's a good kal v'chomer. So nichnas lechaper. So we'll say the Gemara goes weiter for the next case. Nichnas lechaper avabi shalom keeper. We'll say if he walks in with the sacrificial blood, with the intention ultimately again for kapara. Rabbi will say, now what that means ultimately is, it sounds like over here that he's walking in with the intention to do the hazos, to do the sprinkling on the mizbeach hapanimi, but what? He doesn't actually do it. Afapi shelo kapar, puzzle. Ultimately, again, that invalidates the blood. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Reb Shimon Omer ad shiyechaper. Reb Shimon says, no, it'll only be puzzle if he actually does the avodah. We'll see what this means. Rabbi Yehuda Omer im hichnis shogei kasher. Rabbi Yehuda says, if he accidentally brings in the sacrificial blood to the inside of the Beis HaMikdash, the carbon is still kasher. Kol adamim psudin shenasnu agabi ha-mizbeach, lo hir tzahat sitz ela ala tamei. Further, we'll say another halacha. Any invalid blood that was accidentally offered up on the Mizbeach, the tzitz does not affect atonement for that blood unless the blood is tameh. The one thing that tzitz, remember again, the tzitz is the, what's the right word? The forehead plate, right? That's the plate that's called the Shnashem. It sits on the forehead of the Kohen Gadol. Because the tzitz only goes in the tones for the items which are tamei, but not items which are taken out of bounds. Good, says the Gemara. Tanya, I'm Rabbi Yosef Elias. Well, remember again. So remember, the kicks we're really going to focus on over here. See, it's no fun to focus on the case that everybody agrees with, right? Because everybody agrees with it. So therefore, if I have two cups of chatas blood, and one of those cups is taken outside of the Beis HaMikdash, outside. Everyone agrees that what? That ultimately, again, the remaining cup is kosher, right? Obviously, everyone agrees the one taken out is possible, that everyone agrees with, and the one that remains inside, ultimately, again, is kosher. The Machlokes case is where you have two cups. One remains, we'll call it, in the kosher area, and the other is taken inside to the Beis HaMikdash proper. In that case, Rabbi Yosef Halili says the cup that remains in the proper area is kosher. Chachamim say it is pasul. So here we go. Tanya. Amar Rabbi Yosef Halili. Kav v'chomer. Uma b'makom shemach shav. And Rabbi Yosef, here's the kav v'chomer Rabbi Yosef Halili. Uma b'makom shemach shav posel es pachutz lo pasul dam shebachutz es shebifnim. So we'll say, remember again, when it comes to the world of machshava, if you have a machshava to do avodah outside of the Beis HaMikdash, it invalidates the karban. Yet, when you take blood outside of the Beis HaMikdash, it does not invalidate the blood left over. Then I would think, makum she'in machshava po'oselas bifnim. Then I'll say, in a case where machshava is not possible, where does machshava not possible? If when doing the avodah you have in mind to bring the blood inside the Beis HaMikdash, as much as that is illegal, it does not invalidate. Then einol din shelo yipasol dam shebifnim eshebachutz. Then I'll say, goes without saying that what? That when you take some of the blood inside, it should not invalidate the blood left outside. See, I'll say, let's assume for a moment we'll all agree that the blood taken inside is invalid for use. But that's okay. That's not what we're focusing on. What are we focusing on over here? The usability of the blood that's left in a sanctioned area. Amrale, so I said to Rabbi Yosef Halili, Harehu Omer Asher Yuva Midama. The Pasuk says, remember again, this is the Pasuk talking about that if the blood of a Chatas is brought inside the Beis HaMikdash, so the Chatas is invalid. Now, both say, now the Chiddush over here is the Gemara says, Asher Yuva Midama, Afilu Miktsas Dama. Now, the Chiddush that they're saying over here, both say, is that what? Even if only some of the blood is brought inside the Beis HaMikdash. So, both say, see, in the previous case, when we spoke about a chatas, if it's brought inside the Beis HaMikdash, the chatas is invalid. We were talking about what? Where all of the blood was brought inside. Here the Gemara is darshining, Asher Yuva Midama. What a drasha. Midama means what? Midama means what? Even some of the blood. So the drasha is that even if some of the blood is brought inside the Beis HaMikdash, that will also go ahead and invalidate the carbon. So the Gemara says, Amar Lahem, I feel mixed up. Amar lahem, kavachomer liyotze me'ata. So Rabbi Akiva responds, well, I should have a kavachomer. Here's the kavachomer. Uma b'makom shein machshav posel es bifnim, posel dam shebifnim eshebachutz. So also, when it comes to the world of machshava, so machshava to do avoda on the inside of Beis HaMikdash does not invalidate the carbon. Yet what? Shein b'makom machshav posel es bifnim, posel dam shebifnim eshebachutz. Yet, if you bring some of the blood inside, it invalidates the blood even left outside. If that's the case, Rabbi Yosef Levi says, then makom shemach shava poselas b'chutz. The Rabbi says, certainly in a case where a machshava for chutz does invalidate the carbon, eino din shi pasal dam shebachutz shebifnim. Then again, I would say Rabbi Yosef Levi is turning their logic on them. Then if that's the case again, then blood that is brought outside should invalidate any leftover blood that's left inside. Armulo harehu omer asher yuva. They said to Rabbi Yosef Lili, the Pasuk says Asher Yuva, Hanichnas Posel, Veina Yotze Posel. It is only blood that is brought inside the Beis HaMikdash, Rabbi Yosef, that's what? That invalidates any remaining blood outside, but blood brought outside of the Beis HaMikdash does not invalidate blood left on the inside. So let's say, but one second. Why don't we say that a machshava to do the avoda inside the Beis HaMikdash should invalidate the carbon based on the kal v'chomer? And I'll tell you how. Listen to this. So we'll say in a case, ultimately again, where blood taken outside of the Beis HaMikdash does not invalidate that which is left inside. Yet machshava poselas b'chutz. Yet a machshava to do the avoda outside of the Beis HaMikdash will invalidate the carbon. Makom shepasal dam shebefnim es dam shebachutz. Then Rabbi Yosef, when you take some of the blood inside the Beis HaMikdash and it does invalidate the blood left in the appropriate place, eino din sheitei machshava posel es bifnim, then certainly what? A machshava to do the avoda inside the Beis HaMikdash should certainly invalidate the carbon. Hareyu omer b'yom ha'shlishi. Therefore, Rabbi Yosef, the pasuk says b'yom ha'shlishi, which teaches me what? Makom sheyehei meshulash bedam bebasar ube'imurim. We'll say the only makom, which ultimately goes ahead and invalidates a carbon, Abosai, is a place where you could do all three things. Dam, basar, and emurim. We could do blood applications and burn ultimately meat as well as limbs. And since on the inside of the Beis HaMikdash, we don't burn meat and we don't burn limbs, therefore again the machshava cannot invalidate. Velotehe machshava poselas bochutz mikavachomer. So we'll say, remember, all that's happening over here is now we're just going through all of the different variations of this logic. Velotehe machshava poselas bochutz mikavachomer. So we'll say, I can make the argument They're now a machshava b'chutz, a machshava to do the avodah outside of the Beis HaMikdash, should not invalidate the Kal V'chomer, should not invalidate the avodah based on a Kal V'chomer. What's the Kal V'chomer? Umam makom sheposal dam bifnim es shebachutz. So we'll say ultimately again, in a situation where if he takes some of the blood inside the Beis HaMikdash and invalidates that which is left outside, yet even in that case, in machshava poselas bithnim. Yet, a machshava to do the avoda on the inside does not invalidate the karban. Makum shalo posel dam shebechotze shebithnim. The Rabbi says certainly in a case where he takes some of the blood outside of the Beis HaMikdash, it does not invalidate the blood left inside. Eino din shiye posel machshava bechotze. Then all the more so, ultimately, again, a machshava b'chutz should not invalidate as well. Talmud lomar shlishi. Therefore, both said the pasuk from the word shlishi, we learn chutz lizmano. We learn that having intention to do the avodah outside of the prescribed time will invalidate the karban. Pigul chutz limkomo. And Pigul teaches me that there is an invalidation when I have in mind to do the avodah outside of the prescribed area. Baser hanichnas lifnim kasher. Supposed to listen to this. Meat that is brought inside, ultimately, again, will still be kosher. Shehei bedin shepasel. Because I might have thought, based on the Kal V'chomer, there should be pasel. How so? Uma b'makom shelo pasel dam shebechotze shebifnim. So let's listen to this. In a case where, ultimately, again, blood brought outside does not invalidate blood that is left on the inside. Basr hayotzei luchutz. Pasel. Right? Then, ultimately, again, but meat that is brought outside of Osei, Azra HaBeis HaMikdash, is pasel. Makum shepasal dam shebithnim shebachutz. Then I will say all the more so in a case where blood that is brought inside invalidates any blood that is left outside. Then basar hanichnas bithnim eno din shi pasal. Then I will say if you end up bringing sacrificial blood inside the Beis HaMikdash, certainly it should be pasal. Harehu omer midama. Therefore, I will say the pasuk says from its blood, dama v'lo basar. So this is actually a very interesting halacha that I will say it apparently. It is only the bringing in of blood which has the potential to invalidate the karbon. Chatas, according to everyone, and according to Rabbi Kiva, other karbonas as well. But apparently, if you inadvertently bring in sacrificial meat inside the Beis HaMikdash, because you must remember again, sacrificial meat was never ever brought into the Beis HaMikdash. It's very clear, never brought into the Beis HaMikdash. Because remember again, no animal offerings are offered up inside the Beis HaMikdash. What happens if you accidentally brought meat inside the Beis HaMikdash? So the halacha is, it doesn't invalidate the meat. Blood, if brought in, will invalidate the blood, will invalidate the carbon. Meat, if inadvertently brought in, will not invalidate the carbon. Incredible. So the Gemara says, Kal V'chomer. Kal V'chomer, I can make a Kal V'chomer. What's the Kal V'chomer? Uma b'makom shepasal dam shebifnim shebechutz. Let's listen to this. In a situation, shepasal dam, so blood brought inside, will invalidate any leftover blood on the outside. Baser hanichnas lifnim kasher. Yet, Rabosai, still in a case where you bring meat inside, the meat will be kasher. I would have said, makom shelo pasal dam shebechutz es shebifnim. So we'll say, all the more so in a case where what? Where ultimately, if you bring blood outside, it does not invalidate the blood that is left inside. Excuse me, it does not invalidate the blood that is left inside. So ultimately, again, basra yotzei luchutz eino din shekasher. Ultimately, I can say, based on the Kal V'chomer, that what? That if you bring meat outside, it should also continue to be kasher. Harehu omer, therefore the pasuk says, ubasar basada trefa lo sochedu. Therefore, we'll say the pasuk says, if you find a trefa in the field, you shall not eat it. What do we learn from that? Kevan sheyatza basar chutz lemichitzaso ne'asar. We'll say the idea, the Gemara Dashans from here, is that basar basada, we'll say, means meat that is outside of its appropriate confines. Any time the meat leaves its appropriate confines, in this case from a sacrificial perspective, it leaves the Beis HaMikdash, ultimately, again, it will be Aser. Tan Rabbanan, we'll say one last piece for today. Tan Rabbanan, Pnima, we'll say get ready for this. This is really interesting. So the Pasuk says, Pnima, Hein lohuva es dama el hakodesh Pnima, achol tochlu osav hakodesh kasher tzidesi. So we'll say, this is in Parsha Shmini, by the chatos of Aaron on the day that Nadav and Avihu died. So there's a lot of complication with this particular chatos. What Moshe Rabbeinu was wondering about was what? Why didn't they eat the chatos? So first, so Moshe said, now, by the way, the story begins to make so. You know, we all know that in order to understand Chumash, you have to learn Gemara. So now we'll say, for the first time, we actually understand that story in Parsha Shmini. Moshe Rabbeinu gets angry at Aaron for not eating the chatos. Now, at first glance, Moshe Rabbeinu assumes that why didn't Aaron eat the chatos? Maybe what happened, based on what we learned, maybe what happened? maybe Aaron accidentally brought the blood inside. Oh, what happens if you bring the blood of a chatos inside the Beis HaMikdash Shabbos? Say then what? L'divrei HaKol, it is possible. Moshe asked, no, did you accidentally bring the blood of the chatos inside the Beis HaMikdash? To which Aaron says, no. So then Moshe Rabbeinu was puzzled, if you didn't bring the blood of the chatos inside the Beis HaMikdash, then what? Then what? Then what? Why aren't you eating it? Why aren't you eating it? So I say, so watch this. Says the Gemara, Tarav on the Pnima, Eimli Ela Pnima. I only know, so we'll say, the word Pnima means, I would have thought, based on this, that Pnima means that you're not allowed to bring the blood of the Chatos into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And if you bring the blood of the Chatos into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that's when the carbon is valid. Hey Chaminayin, how do I know that even what? How do I know that even if Halacha L'maisa, I went ahead and I brought the blood into the Heichal? But remember again, Heichal just means the rest of the Beis HaMikdash, the structure, aside from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Talmud Lomar, Ela Kodesh Pnima. Because we'll say the Torah adds in the phrase, Ela Kodesh. Ela Kodesh Pnima. Pnima means Kodesh Kadoshim. Ela Kodesh means anywhere in the temple structure. So the Gemara says, so Ela Kodesh Pnima. The Yomar Kodesh Val Yomar Pnima. So I don't understand. Just say Kodesh and leave out Pnima. Because we'll say, what could I have said? If it would have just said Kodesh means what? Kodesh means what? The Heichal. The Beis HaMikdash. If I can't bring Chatos blood into the Beis HaMikdash, then what? I certainly can't what? Kodesh HaKadoshim. She says, just say Kodesh, leave out Pnima. Amarava, Bazeh Belimeid Alzeh. So we'll say, this one comes to teach the other. In other words, we'll say, which is another way of saying that the truth is, had the Torah just said one phrase, either Kodesh or Pnima, I would have thought that what does that one phrase refer to? Kodesh Kadoshim. It has to say both phrases, because if you just said one, I would have automatically assumed it's the first, the most sacred part of the Beis HaMikdash. Once it says two, so meaning once it says Ela Kodesh Pnima, now I know that what? Now I know that Pnima means Kodesh Kadoshim, and Kodesh ultimately means Heichal. So the Gemara says, Amarava, Bazeh Limeidazeh, Midei Dahava Atoshav V'Sachir. We'll say, this is the same idea as Toshav Asachir. What does this mean? Tisanya. Toshav. So we'll say the pasuk that the Gemara is quoting over here is V'cholzar lo yochal kodesh. Any non-kohen is not permitted to eat anything sacrificial. Toshav kohen v'sachir lo yochal kodesh. So we'll say the Toshav of a kohen and a sachir may also not eat any kind of kodesh. So the Gemara says, listen to this. So the Gemara says, midavtar Tisanya. Toshav Ze kanui kinyan olam. We'll say Toshav, ultimately again, is the type of servant who is owned by a kohen forever. Sakir, ze kanui kinyan shanim. That is an eved, ultimately again, who is acquired for a certain duration. Ah, yomer Toshav al yomer sakir. So at the pasuk, just say Toshav and not say sakir. Vani omer, and I would have said as follows. Kanui kinyan olam eno ochel. If someone who is owned by the coin in perpetuity is not permitted to go ahead and eat anything of a sacrificial nature, then kanui kinyan shanim lakol shekein. Then I will say, certainly what? Certainly someone who is just acquired by the coin for a certain duration also certainly cannot eat anything. So the Gemara says, ilu kein, if it would have just said one of them, if it would have just said, in other words, toshav, then I would have said what? Hayisi omer, toshav ze kanui kinyan shanim. But say, I would have thought that Toshav refers to someone who is acquired, who's owned by the coin for a certain number of years. But ultimately, I would have thought that if an Eved is owned by a coin in perpetuity, then Enochinami, he's an extension of the Kohanic family, and he should be permitted to eat. Therefore, Basachir Velimei Dal Toshav, Shezek Hanui Kinyan Olam, V'zek Hanui Kinyan Shanim. So I'll say, therefore, again, what the Gemara is just pointing out over here is that sometimes, if the Torah would have just said one thing, I would have assumed that that one thing refers to what? The most extreme. So we'll say, or I should say, one item. So for example, it would have just said Toshav and Sakhir. If it would have just said Toshav, I would have thought Toshav refers to someone owned by a coin for a certain number of years. That's who can't eat of sacrificial items. But someone who's owned by the coin in perpetuity becomes an extension of the Kohanic family and can eat sacrificial items. Therefore, the Torah has to write both Toshav and Sakhir to teach you whether you're owned forever or just owned for a number of years by the coin. Ultimately, again, you can't go ahead and partake of sacrificial items. So too over here, if it would have just said Kodesh or Pnima, I would have thought that it refers to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but you can take Chata's blood into the Kodesh. Kamashmulan, it says both Kodesh and Pnima to teach you, you can't bring Chata's blood anywhere into the Beis HaMikdash. Someone says, I don't understand. I'm only Abaye. Bishlam HaHasam Trey Gufininu. Someone said, there it's different. By the Toshav and the Sakir, it's two different people. The Afa Gav Dohabedei Lekra LeMichtav Nirtza Lo Yochal. So we'll say there, the Pasuk could have just said the Nirtza. We'll say the Nirtza refers to the Eved of the Kohen, who ultimately again has his ear pierced, who is the Kohen's Eved for obviously until Yovel. So once he can't eat, V'idach Asiba Kavachomer, and I could have learned out the other people that they can't eat based on a Kavachomer, to which the Gemara says, Milsa de Asiba Kavachomer, Tarach v'kas of lakra. So we'll say in that case, even though ultimately, again, it could be learned that from a Kal v'chomer, there will say there is a concept that even when something can be learned that from a Kal v'chomer, the Torah goes out of its way to go ahead and still write a pasuk. Elohacha, kevan de'ika de'ifsel beheichol. So the Gemara says, lifnai v'lifnim my boy. So we'll say here there's a bigger issue. If the dam of the chatas becomes puzzle once it comes into the heichar, we'll say, then what? There is no need to write to tell me that it becomes possible when it comes to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. For one simple reason, which is, you can't reach the Kodesh HaKadoshim without getting into the Heichal. So if Rabbi say, just tell me the blood is possible once you hit the Heichal and we're done. Rabbi says, it's actually very interesting. Rabbi says, there is another way in. Rabbi says, so Rashi points out over here, Lo nitzricha hai panime el derech meshubash shelo kidarko kigon derech gagin va'alios. So the answer is, you could technically access the Kodesh Kadoshim without going ahead and going through the Heichal. How is that? Through the roof and through the windows. So we'll say, so bless you. So because there is a technical way to access the Kodesh Kadoshim without going through the Heichal, therefore the Torah feels compelled to go and write both Pesukim. But once again, it's not what the Pasuk says. The Pasuk speaks about entering in a normative fashion. Ela Amar Rava, Kol Midi Dechashiv, Alei Lifnai V'Lifnim, Lo Mifsal Beheichal. So we'll say, listen, look at Rashi just a moment. Ela Amar Rava, Li Olam Da'ali Derech Pesachim, Vashmin Nekra Deheichal Dechashiv Alei Mitchilas Alachnis Lifnai V'Lifnim, Utchilas Avas Ola Heichal, Amanas Pnim Haya, Lo Mifsal Adamati Lifnim, and Nechzir Lachutz Chashav. We'll say, so this is a mind-blowing shita. Rava says, it's to teach me a fascinating halacha, which is, that I will say, if I'm the Kohen, and I have in mind to dafka bring the blood into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, then when I bring it into the Heichal, if I bring it to Heichal and I change my mind and I take it back out, the blood is still kosher. That's the Chiddush, says Rava. See, watch this. If you bring it into the Heichal, the blood is possible. So Torah tells you if I bring it into the Kodesh Kadoshim, the blood is also possible. Why do I need that statement? In other words, once the blood hits the Heichal, we're done. When I say hits the Heichal, meaning enters, we're done. So why didn't you tell me that it becomes possible to, if it goes to the Kodesh Kadoshim, for a very unique case? That if the Kohen brought in the blood dafka to take it to the Kodesh Kadoshim, and then once he gets to the Heichal, he changes his mind and he takes it back out, the blood is kosher. The blood is kosher. That's the novelty of the limud by the Kodesh Kadoshim. Bai Rava. So we'll listen to this. We'll see just a few more lines and we'll stop. Bai Rava. Par ha'alam davar shal tzibar v'sar v'alis kochavim. Sheikhnis daman lifnai v'lifnim mau. So we'll see, Rava asked the following kasha. What about a par ha'alam davar shal tzibar? So we'll say, remember, these are different types of karbanos. Par ha'alam davar shal tzibar, that's when the tzibar, the majority of the tzibar, went ahead and committed an avera based on the hora of the Sanhedrin. So remember, again, from our Harius days, Harius, right? Hey, so we'll say, so that's the Paham Davar Shal Tzibor. What happens if you bring that, or Sir Avodas Kochavim, which is when the Tzibor again worships Avodah Zarah. So what happens if you, Sheikh Nis Tamal Lifnai V'Lifnim Mau, what happens if you brought this blood inside the Kodesh, or inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim? What's the status of the blood? Mi Amrinan Ela Kodesh Pinima. So we'll say, do we say, Kol Heichav De Karina Be Ela Kodesh, Karina Le Pinima? So we'll say, do we say, when there's a prohibition ultimately to bring it into the Kodesh, there's a prohibition to bring it into Kodesh Kadoshim. But when there's no prohibition to bring it into the Kodesh, there's also no prohibition to bring it into Kodesh Kadoshim. Oh, Dilma. So we'll say, again, remember, this blood is brought into the Kodesh. So do we say, well, once it's allowed to be brought into the Kodesh, it doesn't become invalid if brought into the Kodesh Kadoshim. Oh, Dilma, Shlomim Komanu. Or we say, no, if you're bringing it into the Kodesh Kadosh, we'll say, that is taking blood where it doesn't belong, and therefore what? And therefore, Halacha Lemaisa, and invalidates the carbon. So the Gemara says, and if you want to say that bringing it to the Kodesh Kodashim invalidates it, ultimately because you're bringing the blood where it doesn't belong, so what about the Par L'Sar of Yom Kippur? They will say, ultimately again, the blood is sprinkled in the Kodesh HaKadoshim on the poles of the Aron. And we will say, what happens if you bring that blood out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim into the Heichal? And then you bring them back in. Mahu. What is the status of that blood that was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, brought back out and now brought back in? Mi aminan mekomanu. Do we say that it's still considered to be in its right makom? Odilma hoil v'nafak nafak. Or do we say no? You have the right to sprinkle that blood on the Kodesh HaKadoshim as long as what? It does not leave the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But once you take it out, you can't bring it back in. Vimkin soma hoil v'nafak nafak. And if you want to say once it was taken out, it was taken out. Hizan midaman ala paroches. If you sprinkle the blood from the Yom Kippur offerings on the paroches, top of Pei Gimel, vote siya on the Mizbeach, and then you took it out to the Mizbeach, vichnisa, and then you brought them back in. Mahu, what's the halacha? Halacha vadei chad makamu, odilma yitzia karina bei. Do we say it's all one place? Or do you say that no, ultimately that's still considered to be yitzia? So the Gemara says, teiku. We'll say, so let me just end off with two pieces of halacha lemaisa, just so we could take away two takeaways. So we'll say, so first of all, dam chatos. Dam chatos shechniso l'chaper bo b'fnim. Actually, let's leave that. Let me leave you with the halacha l'maisa from this Mishnah. Chatos shekibel dama b'shnei kosos. So we'll say, here's the case. I went ahead and I received the dam chatos in two cups. It's case of the Mishnah. Remember the Mishnah. Two cups. V'yatza echvem l'chutz. So we'll say, remember, we have two cases. I took one of the cups of blood outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Hapnimi kasher. Ultimately, again, the cup that remained inside is still going to be kasher. V'yasa mimenu. So we'll say that is halacha lemaisa. Two cups of dam chatos, one blood taken outside, one cup remains inside. Ultimately, it's kasher. Nichnas echar mehem lehechol. We'll say if one of them was taken into the hechol, meaning inside the Beis HaMikdash proper, v'hiza mimenu sham, and Rabbi say it was used there for sprinkling. Remember, the Rambam adds in over here, which is actively used there, afachitzon pasol. Even the chitzon, even the one that remains outside, is possible. Shene emar sheyuva midama filu miktsas dama im nichnas lechaper bekodesh nifsa. So we'll say, listen to this. So halacha lemaisa. So ultimately, again, what we see over here from the Rambam is as follows: two cups. If one brought outside, the one that remains inside remains kosher. Two cups. One taken inside the base of mikdash, if actively used for sacrificial purposes, it invalidates the one that remains outside. What happens if it wasn't used for sacrificial purposes? So the Rambam says it depends. If it was intentionally taken inside the Beis HaMikdash, then what? Then it will invalidate that. It will invalidate the one that remained outside. But if it was taken in Beshogeg, then ultimately the one that remains in the Azara ultimately goes ahead and remains valid. But say, let me just before we end, I just want to share with you a short 4th of July. Vart.